let me in. Shibba, shibba. I want to be closer to you. Shibba, shibba. Open up your soul. Shibba, shibba. Let me find that part of you. The part that nobody ever knew.
Let me touch your.
Hello and welcome to Let Me Touch Your Mind, the show where we try to get you to be something, do something, experience something, enjoy something. And there's always so much to be enjoyed in San Francisco. We are truly a blessed city. One of the things that we can enjoy right now is something that's happening right now at the San Francisco Playhouse. I'd like to welcome Devin Cunningham. Hello.
Hello, hello. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
So you guys are doing a play right now. Tell our listening audience about it.
Yes, we are producing and playing Fat Ham by James Imes. It is a 22 Pulitzer Prize-winning play for drama.
Wow.
It is a modern adaptation of Hamlet, set in a North Carolina black family's backyard barbecue.
Okay.
So get ready to laugh and go on a roller coaster journey with this very fun, outgoing, sometimes dark family.
Okay, so I have a lot of questions for you about this, but before we get into that, let's talk a little bit about you. Our audience, our listening audience, wants to know like how you got into theater, when you first got bitten by the theatrical bug, and you know all the stuff that you do in the theater.
Yeah, well, I am from East Oakland, mm-hmm. California,
mm-hmm.
born and raised, very proud, and I've always enjoyed and loved performing. I was a kid who used to put on magic shows for my mom and dad using my mom's hair scarf. you know, doing my best to make something happen. So I'll say I always knew I enjoyed performing. And I was in the school play growing up, and uh-huh. we did the same play every year. And then in high school,
What was the play?
It was called The Joy Story. And it was a play, I went to Acts Christian Academy,
mm-hmm.
and it was a play about a small toy store possibly being bought out by this conglomerate, and through the power of Jesus Christ, he decides not to do it. I can still sing the song from that show to this day.
I love that.
I said, we did it every year.
Okay.
But got to high school and I wasn't as into theater at that time,
mm-hmm.
For various reasons. And then got to college where I was first introduced to Margot Hall, the director mm-hmm. of Fat Ham. And that is where I was officially bitten by theater.
Ooh.
And I haven't looked back since. And I was at Chabot College. And now I'm the Associate Artistic Director of African American Shakespeare Company here in San Francisco, and been professionally acting since 2016.
That's awesome. Now, what was it about Margot that captivated? Do you remember when you thought, oh, wait a minute, this is it?
You know, honestly, it was the fact that it was a black woman teaching theater.
Oh, representation matters.
You know, representation is so important. And I hadn't at that point in my life, outside of my, you know, elementary and middle school experience, been with someone who looked like me and who was interested in theater. Or taught it.
Uh-huh.
And so to be with someone like Margot, who was very much about the story, very much about the work, really was inspiring. So my experience at Chabot College and working with her just made me say yes and to this.
Wow. And so did you first do, are you still there? Oh, we seem to have lost him. You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. We're talking with Devin Cunningham, who is part of the Lorraine Hansberry Theater, and he's back. So, okay, so Devin, are you still there?
Yes, I'm so sorry we got disconnected.
It happens. It's modern technology. So with the theater, so fast forward, how did you get involved with the Lorraine Hansberry Theater? Was it because Margot was there, or was it just a coincidence?
With the Lorraine Hansberry Theater, I unfortunately have not had the opportunity to act along, act or participate in the Lorraine Hansberry Theater's production, as Fat Ham is being produced by SF Playhouse. And I work with African American Shakespeare Company. All three companies right now are focusing on Black stories, so we are greatly appreciative for that.
Thank you. Thank you for correcting me. So, all right, so then how did you end up as part of this production?
Well, I first came in touch with Fat Ham about a year and a half, 2 years ago. I came in touch with the play, and upon reading it, I remember crying. Because I was so touched and moved by the story and in feeling represented and seen. And then there was the audition process that happened last summer, and where, you know, you come in and you hope they pick you. And I'm just grateful that I was able to make it through the whole process and be here for this part of the journey.
So tell us a little bit more about the show. So who are the characters? Are they archetypical characters, or are they archetypical in a Shakespearean way, or are they archetypical in a Black family kind of way?
I'm going to say they are archetypical in both Shakespeare and Black familial.
Okay.
So every in the stage directions, James Imes puts, for Juicy, for instance, the character I play, deliciously thick, a somewhat Hamlet. For Opal, she is a somewhat Ophelia. So all of the characters are somewhat like characters from Hamlet, because the play is an adaptation of Hamlet. So they are these big, bold characters that Shakespeare wrote, which is also what you find in the Black family. Big, bold personalities, daring personalities. So the way he situated these, Polonius being Ravi, this over-the-top figure who is funny and aspiring for greatness, that shows up in the form of a churchwoman in Fat Ham, as it does in Hamlet, where it's this dignitary. And Teedra, who plays my mother, Gertrude, has this beautiful moment where she's like, you know, I feel like the audience is judging me. Because in Hamlet, Gertrude does marry her late husband's brother. And she has this moment where she, you know, she talks out to the audience, but in a very Black way. You know, she's standing up for who she is. Like, you know, I don't want nobody talking about doing what I did. They don't understand my story, which is often what happens with, you know, with Black people not being fully understood, but being judged and perceived. So it is a beautiful shaping of Blackness within Shakespeare. And honestly, actually, let's flip that. It's really Shakespeare within Blackness, because the characters use Shakespeare as a way to navigate through the complexities of the situation, of their given circumstances.
Well, when, like, so you said that when you first read the play that you cried. So was is there a way that it jumps off the page differently when you read it versus when you act it out?
You know, I will say yes. And because upon reading it, I hadn't read a Shakespeare adaptation that used or had a character, a Black queer character, at the center of it. And so I was like, oh, wow, this is this was written for someone like me. And then actually being in it and feeling all of the emotions of Juicy and all the emotions of Hamlet and all the words and actions that happen around, it's a more intense experience because I'm not just reading the experience, I'm living it now. In Juicy's shoes. So I would say that's the biggest difference. It's actually living the experience and not just reading the experience.
Okay.
On stage.
Okay. And it looks like you have a pretty big cast.
Yes, it is. Well, it's a cast of seven. and if you, I want to say Hamlet originally has, I can't even tell you the cast number, but I know it's at least 15, 15 plus people. Who make up the story in the world of Hamlet. Compared to us, where it's seven of us, and we are such an ensemble. We take care of each other so much.
Mm-hmm.
We have a whole warm-up circle before we go out on stage. You have Ron Chapman and Courtney Gabrielle Williams and Jen Steffens, Jordan Covington, Phaedra Tillery Boughton, Samuel, and myself. It is beautiful. We love on each other so much, and beautiful Black people telling a beautiful Black story. So it's really hard to go wrong in that regard.
Had you worked with any of them before?
Yes, me and Ron worked together on Black Eagles at African American Shakespeare Company.
Okay.
This was in 2019. Me and Phaedra are colleagues, having known each other around the Bay Area, and I'm familiar with the work of other artists as well on stage. Some of them were brand new to me, which was beautiful, because when you have new energy in the room and fresh faces, it brings new perspective to the art and to the craft of theater, and offers the opportunity to learn so much. So I've learned so much from this ensemble and cast that I will carry with me well into my career.
Oh, that's sweet. Let me ask you this. So when you are doing, do you find as an African-American performer that you're able to find the depth and breadth of roles that would satisfy your soul as someone who's very creative and someone who wants to perform?
I will say most times, sometimes, yes.
Okay.
Because you get opportunities such as this one where you're in a room where your director is Black and the story is written for Black people and the ensemble is all Black, where you feel you could actually breathe into the role and explore so much without judgment. There were so many times where we came into the room. Mind you, this play takes place at a barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
So we would come into the room and we playing the wobble. Or we playing a cha-cha slide. We playing barbecue music. family gathering time, you know, to kind of ground us all into the world that we're heading into. And then in other instances where you go into other rooms where it may be a more diverse cast, you can't, you'll say things that may not be fully understood. Or you may feel as if you cannot bring your full cultural nuance to the role. So I say sometimes because I do my best to be in rooms that celebrate all of who I am. And that's sometimes the tricky part of the business is how do I get into the rooms that celebrate all of who I am at all times? And still tell the story and live authentically on stage.
I understand. Now, you all, we were also talking about, so there's the Lorraine Hansberry Theater, and there is the African American Shakespeare Company. Like, when you do all, do these companies ever sort of do collaborative things, or is that still something that's in the works?
Collaborative is always in the works. Always something that we're interested in, especially post-COVID, seeing how best we can bridge our communities and our audiences. So something I know we're looking into is how we can collaborate with other theater companies to support each other and continue telling Black stories.
Okay. Okay. Now, you mentioned that you currently serve as the co-associate director at African American Shakespeare Company. Is there a challenge when you go from sort of being on the artistic, like when you have the vision versus when you're one of the people who has to realize the vision, being in charge versus, you know, listening to direction that people give you?
Yeah, it's a total mind switch. Because when you are a director yourself, mm-hmm. and you're being directed by someone else, you have to turn off that part of your brain that is telling you, oh, move here, do this. And just be a receiver. And it can be tricky and also so rewarding when you actually get to the place where you can just receive the note and actually hear what the director is saying. And during this, during the rehearsal process of Fat Ham, I was remounting a show that we worked on that I directed called From One to Another, Homage to the Legacy of Maya Angelou, that we premiered last fall.
Okay.
At the unveiling of her statue at the SF Public Library near Civic Center. Uh-huh. And so I was literally be directing in the morning and then going into the rehearsal room right after. So it's like I have to, you know, it's this switch of, okay, I see the vision.
Right.
And trusting the vision really is the biggest thing. Trusting the vision of the director. And Margot is such a visionary that I found it easier to relinquish that control or that desire to want to control how things are going to go because I trust Margot's vision and where she is guiding the story so much.
I understand. I was once in a show with two of us were choreographers, but we were in the show and there was another choreographer and the both of us, we were just like, we just keep our mouths shut and do what we're told because it's so easy to want to slip into that. Well, what about this? And what about that? And you can't do it because it undermines the person that's in charge.
Yes. And I will say to that, Margot is so receptive to, if you have ideas, share them. If you think that this scene might be more like this, say something about it. And so we, there was one scene in the play that we were, in Fat Ham, that we were working on. And she was like, I think this scene is like this. And I said, I think so too. And she said, well, why you didn't say nothing? and I said, I felt it today. I felt that today, like literally after we finished. And she said, oh, okay. So she is so open to you and your interpretation of the line and having a conversation with you. Like, what are you saying here? Do you believe what you're saying? And asking you to do the deeper digging. There we go. Required to tell the story. So she's a phenomenal collaborator in that way.
Okay. Now, you've mentioned the actors and you've mentioned the director, but there's so many components that go into putting on a show, like the costumers who all helps behind the scenes to bring this to fruition?
Yeah. So one, I got to give a shout out to our stage manager, Alicia, because she's keeping the show running, as well as our assistant stage manager, Sam, who's backstage, costumes, our production assistant, Tiffany, who's helping out. We have Dave, who is the fight director, Janae Intimacy, Rotimi, our choreographer. Lee Patel was our costume designer. And Ray Archie, sound designer, and Stephanie Johnson was our lighting designer. And when you see that set, that's all Nina.
Okay.
The set is amazing. It's a wonderful playground.
Now, I was talking to a friend of mine part of the reason why you guys are on so quickly, because they said, have you seen this show? It's amazing. So I hear you guys are already getting serious positive feedback and positive buzz.
Oh, I'm glad. I'm happy to hear that.
Oh, you haven't heard yet?
I've heard that it's been positive feedback, but I'm not someone who reads reviews or anything. let's keep telling a great story and let's keep living the truth of these characters. And I just hope that it feeds and fuels the community in that way.
Okay. Okay. Well, then with that in mind, so when did the show open and how long does it run?
So we opened, we started previews on March 20th, mm-hmm. and we opened on March 26th, and we are running until April 19th. So there's a couple more weeks to catch the show.
You just opened.
Oh, yeah, just opened last Wednesday.
Okay.
And it has been a great audience reception. I hear some words after the show. Mm-hmm. And I'm just grateful that the story is touching so many people. And yes, it may have an all-Black cast, and yes, it centers Black identity, Black queerness, and the story is for everyone, just like The Glass Menagerie by Tennessee Williams is for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So when does it play? Where does it play? Where can we get tickets?
So, we have shows Tuesday through Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
We have matinees on Wednesdays and we have two show days on Wednesdays and Saturdays.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sunday matinees. You can get tickets at sfplayhouse.org.
Uh-huh.
Use discount code BARD50, B-A-R-D. 50
uh-huh.
for a little bit of a discount, and the theater is located at 450 Post.
Oh, okay.
Here in San Francisco, so right downtown, right across the street from the Westin, stones away from Union Square. So, BARDable, walkable, parking garageable. We're right there.
Excellent. And then this is just a question for you. So you've come a long way from the kid that does magic with mom's scarf in the living room. Did your parents or do your folks get to see any of your productions?
My mom and dad came this past Sunday.
Oh, yay. Yay. I just really want to know what was going through there. Like, would they sit there and clap when you did it, or did you like, when you look back on it, can you assess what their response was?
You know, my dad has a distinct laugh, so mm-hmm. I could hear when he laughed. And I haven't talked to them yet about, like, their full experience with the show. But my dad and my mom both told me at the end, they said, okay, this might be one of our favorites.
Aww.
And I said, yes! I'm glad, because it's one of mine. So
you should
I'm
do
grateful
some...
that they really enjoyed the show.
You should try and do some of those magic tricks that you used to do for them so that you can see, like, so what was it like to have to sit through this, through my magic act?
Because I used to grab her green scarf and somehow disappear behind it, as if the scarf could. you know, it was all part of the trick. And I should definitely ask them, remember when we were on 56?
Because, you know, you really have to give it to parents, because the kids that want to put on shows, the parents sit through all of them. They're just as supportive as they can be, given the limited thespian experiences of their youngins. So the fact that you went from waving around that scarf to putting on this amazing performance is a testament to your folks as well.
Yes, and I'm so grateful for my parents. They are extremely supportive, always loving, and I mean, I wouldn't trade them for nothing. They the bee's knees.
Excellent, excellent. All right, well, one more time for our listening audience, when and where for Fat Ham?
When and where, SF Playhouse in San Francisco at 450 Post. When we are open, we opened on March 26th, and we close April 19th. So it is a limited run, but it is jam-packed with laughs, a good bit of tragedy, and all-around love.
Excellent. And if people wanted to find out more about what you guys are doing, how would they go about doing that?
You can find out more about what we're doing at sfplayhouse.org. And if you want to know more about me, you can find me on Instagram at Devin Adrian. That's Devin with two N's, Adrian with two N's.
Excellent. Well, Devin, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your time. Thank you for having me.
All right. And stay on the line. I have some questions for you before I go on to my next interview.
Okay.
So People of Earth, this is your opportunity to go check it out. Fat Ham, you're going to love it, love it, love it, love it, love it, probably because everything we do in San Francisco is lovable and everyone in San Francisco is lovable, contrary to what people outside of San Francisco have to say.
Yeah, man.
Play slow, baby. Play slow, man.
Yeah, man.
Well, right,
let's do the wobble, man.
Oh, baby, let's do the wobble cha. Yeah.
Now you're doing it.
and we're gonna get down and groove. I love the way you party. I love the way you move.
Dance with me, baby, baby, dance with me.
That's Rufus featuring Chaka Khan and Dance With Me. Heard from Tommy Dark and Wobble Legs. And Cool Benny Velarde and his Stone Swingers doing the Wobble Cha. You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. And you know, it's the last Monday of the month. And I'm so excited because there's so much going on at the library this month. So I'm starting a little bit early so that we can talk about as much as humanly possible. Here are my librarianistas du jour. I'd like to welcome Ashley Marshall and Lynn Davidson. Hello.
Hello, Marilyn.
Hi.
Hi. So we're going to start with, I'm going to ask you, Ashley, what is it that you do at the library?
Sure. Yeah. So I am a children's librarian, and I work in the mobile outreach services department where we have the bookmobiles. So I'm on a bookmobile going to different schools and story times and events. Yeah.
And Lynn, what is it that you do at the library, since I know that you've changed positions since we last spoke?
Yeah, so for the last year, I have been the adult services manager at the Richmond Branch Library on 9th Avenue. And I am loving this because I spent 12 years as the children's manager at the main library. And so both of them have been great jobs, but my new job is an opportunity to connect with a whole different community and a whole different neighborhood, and it's super fun.
I was going to ask you about that, like the difference between communicating with a room full of children versus a room full of adults.
It's actually kind of the same. I mean, you just have to make connections and be interested in people and just feel ready to answer questions and stimulate love of libraries and learning. And that's pretty universal. But I'm loving getting to know a whole different swath of patrons who are adults, whether they have kids or not, getting to know families, getting to know the neighborhood and the community. And I'm really impressed by the fact that people are hungry for in-person connections. And so I'm excited to develop things like book clubs and movie nights and learning activities. And we have a vinyl collection at Richmond Branch. So definitely come check that out. We love music.
Okay. Well, I know the library's got a whole lot going on, so we're going to sort of do a back and forth. So we're going to start with Ashley. Ashley, what's going to be going on this upcoming month at the library?
Well, I want to promote our story times. We always have that going on, and would love to see people come out. We're doing a story time every Tuesday, and we do our program from 9:30 to 12 at a different park every Tuesday of the month. So next Tuesday we'll be at Corrett Playground near the Richmond Library, and we have toys and we have story time at 10:30, mm-hmm. and you can check out books on the bookmobile and in the park.
And how do people know which park you're going to be at from 1 week to the next?
You know, you can check the regular events calendar on sfpl.org. Mm-hmm. In the events calendar, our program does come up. You can also go to the specific bookmobile page, and it will have our Swing Into Stories, which is what the program is called. It will have all of that information as well.
Okay. So now we're gonna go to Lynn. Hey, Lynn, what's going on? What's coming up?
Well, at Richmond Branch for April, we've got so many programs. I will mention our big open house. Every branch has an open house once a year, and it gives us a chance to really share the best of what we do with our community. Mm-hmm. And so for Richmond Branch, my branch, it's going to be on Saturday, April 19th from 1 to 5 p.m. We've got live music. We've got a Guzheng Orchestra. We've got klezmer music. We've got a tour of the Richmond Branch, talking about its history and architecture, book giveaways, all kinds of fun things for kids and families. And again, that's on Saturday, April 19th at 351 9th Avenue, our Richmond Branch, from 1 to 5 p.m. And I promised my friends at the Western Addition Branch, our neighbor, that I would also plug their open house the Saturday before on April 12th at the Western Addition Branch, 1550 Scott Street. Similar cool things going on.
Yeah, and I'm going to be at that one. So, because that's the one that's closest to the KPO studio. So, you know, they're kind of like our pet library.
Yeah, with good reason. That's a great branch too.
Okay, now we'll switch back to Ashley. You have to top that. It's a competition.
Yeah, I also wanted to plug special events that are coming up, because the bookmobiles are also out in the community on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
So we have Night of Ideas coming up on April 5th. That's next weekend.
Yeah.
And the bookmobile will be there in the plaza outside of the main library, which is where the big event will be held. And there's going to be performances and live music and all kinds of fun stuff for family and for adults. But you can come visit Bookmobile there. We also have the Great Highway event that's coming up. And I'm looking to see. Oh, I'm sorry. I can't find where the date is for that one. I think it's April 12th. If you're not going to Western Addition open house, please stop by the Great Highway event as well. And then we also have coming up, we have Summermobile as well. So I know it's a little bit far in the distance, but it'll come up fast in June. Starting in June, we have June 9th. We will be at a different park every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of the week until August 14th.
That's the bookmobile?
And we will have STEM activities, and we will have other craft programs at each of those stops. So I also wanted to plug that, and you can also find that info on the sfpl.org.
And that's the bookmobile?
As well.
That's the bookmobile that's going to be tootling around the...
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, two different bookmobiles. The Youthmobile will be on Mondays, will be at Glen Canyon at 9:30
mm-hmm.
until 11:30. On Tuesdays, the STEM bookmobile will be at Sava Pool in the Sunset from 9:30 to 11:30. On Wednesdays, the Youthmobile... Oh, I'm sorry. Mondays will be at Minnie and Lovey Rec Ward. Wednesdays will be at Glen Canyon. Thursdays, the STEM librarian will be at the Potrero Hill Rec Center.
And what is a STEM librarian for our listening audience who doesn't know?
Oh, yeah. It's just so we have a different vehicle called the Tech Mobile. So there's the Youth Mobile, which is my vehicle. We do more children's programming. And then the Tech Mobile does a lot more programming with the older kids, middle school, high schoolers. And that bookmobile is equipped more with computers and other things, but the librarian specifically focuses on STEM programming and activities for kids.
Okay, okay. And now let's go back to Lynn, because you've been, how long did you say you'd been at the Richmond branch?
Since January of last year, so
Oh, okay.
A little more than a year.
Okay, okay. So you're still kind of a baby in that library, so it's still probably all very exciting. What else is going on at the Richmond branch? And then I want you both to talk about the Night of Ideas.
Oh, my goodness. So Richmond branch, I am loving creating cultural and artistic enriching experiences for adults.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorite things for April is that on Saturday, April 26th at Richmond branch, starting at 4 p.m., we are going to enter the photographic world of Barbara Ramos. She is the author of a new book that's a collection of her iconic San Francisco photographs. And the title of her book is A Fearless Eye, The Photography of Barbara Ramos, San Francisco and California, 1969 to 1973, published this year by Chronicle Books. And I had the pleasure of meeting Barbara when she came to the Richmond branch, and she was telling me about her book, and I thought, this would be an amazing program. Do you want to do a program? And she said, yes. And so I am so thrilled and honored that Barbara Ramos will be joining us on Saturday, April 26th, starting at 4 at Richmond branch. We're going to have a conversation about her book, about her photographs.
Mm-hmm.
She is just the most incredible person. She has a really distinctive artistic point of view, and her respect and her love for her subjects just shines through in all of her work. She was a young photographer in the 60s and 70s, and she had such a sharp eye and an empathetic gaze, and she's built an incredible body of work, but then she stopped photographing. So during COVID, she and her husband, Joe Ramos, who is also a noted photographer,
mm-hmm.
Who's done major exhibits in San Francisco, Barbara and Joe were going through her images, and they just found so much in her own archives. And so this became her book, A Fearless Eye. She is, I would call her a previously unknown master of 20th century photography, and she is still photographing. She just stopped by my branch the other day, and I had the pleasure of seeing some of her recent photographs. This woman's talent is incredible. So I really, really urge everyone to get a hold of the book. Come and join us for the program on Saturday, April 26th. We would love to have you.
Excellent, excellent. So are either of you participating in the Night of Ideas, or have you participated in the past?
I'm participating in it. I am going to be working it the late shift from 7 p.m. until 2 a.m. at the main library. I've attended as a participant and as a worker mm-hmm. many times before. It's really not to be missed. It's a major cultural opportunity, and there is so much there. You will get an amazing variety of conversations,
mm-hmm.
information, enlightenment, excitement, performances. It's really an incredible event, so please come.
Yeah. And then I want each of you to talk about a program that is ongoing at your branch that maybe a lot of people don't know about, or you know, you would like more people to hear about. And we're going to start with Ashley.
Ongoing program. Well, I guess I already mentioned our story time.
So sure.
That's kind of the one ongoing public program that we do offer.
Mm-hmm.
And I will mention that we, beyond Coret, we will be going. So the second Tuesday of the month, we're at Coret Playground.
Mm-hmm.
The third Tuesday of the month, we are at Hilltop Park in the Bayview.
Okay.
The fourth Tuesday of the month, we are at McLaren Park.
Mm-hmm.
It's gorgeous, right next to the Redwood Grove. There's always a playground. All of these story times. And then the first Tuesday of the month, we are at Garfield, which will be happening tomorrow. And that's a bilingual Spanish-English story time. So please come out and see us.
Okay. And then how about you, Lynn?
So for Richmond Branch, I'll mention two things because our youth manager is not here. So I will mention, first of all, our story times. Every Monday at 11 at Richmond Branch, we have baby story time. Every Tuesday and Wednesday, we have toddler story times. During the colder months, these are indoors, and so we do have tickets available starting at 10:30 for each 11 a.m. program. However, during our warmer months, probably starting round about May, we will have them outdoors at our 10th Avenue Park, and then we don't have to give out tickets. So definitely check those out. Other ongoing program series that I would love to mention at Richmond is our all-ages music programming. We've been having what we call the Sidewalk Series music program featuring local bands. We usually do that in August or September, so look for that coming later in the month. At Richmond Branch, we adore music, and we've got a lot of music stuff for you coming up.
Excellent. Now I want to wade into libraries, because I love libraries, and anytime I see that there's any threat to the library, to libraries, I get very anxious. So can you tell me about, you know, are San Francisco libraries, like, how are they able to survive? Either of you.
So I'll just weigh in on that a little bit. As far as I understand it, San Francisco is in a very fortunate position. We are very fortunate that we have a robust budget. We have a really vibrant team of staff, including our city librarian and all of the staff members who are very committed to intellectual freedom. And so I am not aware of any major or significant threat to our library right now.
Okay.
That's not to say that that won't happen, given the uncertainty of our current political climate. But we, our library team, we are going to stand up for our patrons and their right to read and to learn. And I know that our community has always stood up for us. So I personally feel very good about that.
Good. And do you have any comments, Ashley?
Yeah, I would agree with Lynn on that. Thanks for weighing in first, because I agree. I haven't, I don't see a situation in which our library at the current moment would be, is threatened. I mean, we do, as Lynn mentioned, we are in a fortunate position that our community is very supportive of the library. We have, you know, a healthy budget, and we have a lot of people in the political atmosphere here that are, you know, fighting for us. So, but yeah, you can never predict the future, especially in this uncertain times. But I, you know, we're still going strong, and we plan to keep going strong.
Okay, then I can breathe a sigh of relief for us at least. Now, are there any programs at the library that are just starting up or about to start up that you want to make sure get on people's radar? Because every time I go to the main library, I look in that little, like, that little stand, the kiosk, and there's all, like, there's this chess club, or there are these films that are coming up, or, and I'm always fascinated that you have so many programs going on. So I want to make sure that you get a chance to talk about the ones that, you know, that you know are coming up.
Ashley, do you want to go first?
Sure. So I will mention some of the community events that the library is involved in, not just Bookmobile, but our community partnerships and programs, as well as the city Recreation and Parks Department. So, and I did mention already Night of Ideas, and I already mentioned the Great Highway opening event on April 12th. But we will also be at the Oracle Park doing Library Night with the San Francisco Giants on Monday, April 7th.
Okay.
And that's a night event from 3 p.m. to 6:30. We will also be at Dia de los Niños, and that is coming up on April 27th this month. It's a Sunday from 11 to 3. There's going to be live music and activities, and of course the Bookmobile will be there. And I also will mention a free event for families that's going to be May 3rd at the Dion.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a great event. I've been as a patron with my own little one, and it's an amazing community event. People can come to the museum, and we'll have story times in the atrium or outside, depending on the weather. We'll have bookmobile there, and also lots of activities, and then you can explore the museum too.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. And how about you, Lynn?
So I will go back to music, one of Richmond Branch's favorite themes, and just mention a couple of upcoming things. On Sunday, April the 6th, at Richmond Branch from 2 to 3, we're mm-hmm. going to host the Jewish Folk Chorus of San Francisco. Now in its 99th year, they'll sing a lot of labor movement-based songs, and they have a huge repertoire in multiple languages. So that's on Sunday, April 6th at 2 p.m. I'll also mention that we are continuing our partnership with the San Francisco Opera. And so we're in the process of scheduling what I hope will be a really rich array of opera-based programming where you can learn more about both classical and contemporary opera, which is an amazing opportunity to get a free education for adults in our community. And just, yeah, one more thing I'm going to mention. If you want to keep your San Francisco library strong and resilient, everybody out there listening can play a part. You can volunteer with the Friends of the San Francisco Public Library. We have so many volunteer opportunities. Please reach out to them. They don't just accept donations of money. They also want donations of your time.
Wow.
And you'll learn more about the library and be able to speak up for us if and when the time comes that we need to do that in San Francisco. And we love our community, and we have such a great relationship with everyone. So please continue supporting us in very intentional ways.
I love that message. And today I learned that you guys are, you partner with the opera, which I had no idea about. So yay, I'm so glad I'm having both of you on. It is time for me to turn the mic over to Mr. Ford. So I want to thank you both, not just for being on the show, but, you know, for the positive energy that you both bring to the library. I really appreciate the both of you, Lynn Davidson and Ashley Marshall.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Marilyn. This was a pleasure as always.
Hey, people of Earth, the library, it's your friend. It's there. It's always there for you. And I once read this thing that said, the internet will give you a million answers, or the librarian will give you the right one. So with that being said, until next week, my friends, ta-ta and toodly-doo.